off the tractor, just long enough to give you his point of view with a trailer full of hogs in tow. Let's get it crack-a-lackin'. The Jonathan Morris Show on Florida Man Radio.
What's crack-a-lackin', everybody? I'm your host, Jonathan Morris. And it's going to be a crazy day. We got a lot to get to. I had to pause for a minute because I couldn't remember what truck I was in. I'm in the box truck today because today we're running hogs, but they're on the other side. You know what I mean? They've already been...
They're not here.
They've already been cleaned.
Oh, they've already gone to pig heaven?
Well, they're going back to pig farmer's market, organic meats, to be cut up into beautiful pork chops.
And some would say that place is heaven. I would.
Yeah, and made into Christmas hams. So it was funny. Oh, and thank you to Austin. He came by the shop yesterday from Tampa. Drove down. He is part of the show, texted in, calls in a lot. And so thank you, sir. It was nice meeting you. And some other people. I didn't catch everybody's name, but had some people tell me they're from the radio. So thank you very much for the response. I really appreciate it. I've got to talk about, and I know I make fun of trifling crackers. And it's okay because, I mean, I don't consider myself a cracker, but I'm a country white boy, you know? And a lot of people don't believe I'm white. And it was funny because Austin was like, man, you got me with your voice. Like, he's like, there's never would I believe. I think he almost drove.
You can never judge a book by its cover.
I almost believe he only drove from Tampa. Like, he wasn't even really planning on buying them. He just wanted to come down here and see if I was white or black. But I did something the other day, and my wife said to me, oh, man, they got you. They got you good. And I was like, no, I felt it in my heart. Like, I was doing the right thing for God. Like, you know, I'd want to, and I'll get to this story. I don't want to ruin it. I'll get to the story. We have a big announcement out of former President Trump. And then apparently, I didn't know this, we have a drug problem in America.
Rumor has it.
We have a drug problem in America.
Who knew?
Who would know? Wow. They don't talk about the rest of the world, where all the drugs come from. Most of them. I mean, I guess marijuana is grown in Kentucky and Tennessee, places like that. But they don't talk about the rest of the world that supplies us with our drugs. And we didn't get to the chicken yesterday. And because I'm a farmer, rancher, slash all-around guy with a butcher shop, I have to cover this before we cover anything else. But first, the gentleman down at the end of the table doing all his stuff and who sometimes leaves us live during our commercial. I'm going to start charging off for that, by the way.
Leaves you live during a commercial? What are you talking about?
So don't worry about it. We're going to find a code that you're going to have to scan or something to be able to watch us live or listen to us live on your radio or app, and it's going to set you back 79 cents a commercial. I think 79 cents a commercial is great. Do like five a day, 5 days a week. The math will start to add up.
Are you talking like an inside look at the studio while the commercials are running?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We can do that.
It'll be like our own version of OnlyFans. Like the Stedman and Jonathan go... OnlyFans, right? Well, what really goes on behind the scenes when we're shuffling through our papers?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm over here screaming, the computer froze again, and he says, no, you just have to roll the mouse, and it'll come back on.
And you're like, Stedman, why are you such an idiot? And I go, I don't know. See, that's the kind of stuff that you could have if you subscribe 80 cents per insult. I mean, per break.
Oh, that could be great. I could start charging 80 cents a text for everybody that slaps you one.
Okay.
There you go. We'll figure this out.
We're going to profit off this.
We're going to get rich one way or another.
That's right.
Okay, so my episode, I have to take you back about a week and a half. So good morning, everybody. The number here is 321-339-1055. Please call, please text, be a part of the show. I have some stuff you may want to be involved in. And I want to know your opinion on this because I feel like in my heart I did the right thing, but... these trifling crackers got me, and they got me so good, but they won't get me twice. You know that old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me set this up. About a week and a half ago, it was Aurora's birthday. She turned 16.
So we're going back in time. Okay.
We had all her friends were coming over. You know, it was a school night. So it's like 6:37 in the evening. We're multitasking. Alyssa's going one way. I'm going one way. Mama's setting up decorations. So I meet Alyssa by the Publix parking lot, and there's a Huey Magoo's in there that the kids like it. I don't know.
It's okay. Yeah, I like Huey Magoo's.
Yeah, it's not terrible. You know, I don't believe their slogan that they only use the tender on the chicken, because that's a lot of chickens they have to have those tenders only. But anyways, maybe they're honest about their marketing.
I don't know.
So we're standing in the parking lot, and it's Alyssa in her Jeep, and I'm in my truck, and I'm moving presents because the food got held up. So I don't want to drag this out, but the food got held up, And Amy had to wrap presents. So I'm moving presents into Alyssa's Jeep, and this lady walks up, and she's probably 35, 40 years old. And if you're listening to the show, I'm talking about you, lady. Nice lady, blonde hair, white lady, dressed normal. And she had a daughter with her, maybe 13, 14. Couldn't have been any older.
Okay.
And the daughter seemed very shy and awkward. And the mom, the lady, I assumed it was the mom, said to me, excuse me, sir, is there any way you could help us? And she's like, we haven't eaten in a day, and we're very hungry, and we're trying to get to Daytona, to the shelter. The last 2 days we've been in Orlando, the shelter is out of room. We've been having to sleep on the street, and Orlando's kind of dangerous. She's like, we got a ride, but the guy could only bring us to Lake Mary. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, what does it cost to get to the shelter? She's like, well, it's $40 more. And I said, listen, I don't get money out. I just don't, but I'll feed you if you're hungry. So this is where it gets good. Like they, and this is where I felt good about what I was doing. Because normally when you say to somebody, whether they're transient or on the street or begging or they got a sign, when you offer them substance to fill their need, they don't want it. They just want money, right?
Right. That's what it seems like, yeah.
And that's normally when you know they're not in need. Because listen, if I'm starving and I ask you for $100 because I'm big, I need to eat. And you're like, listen, big guy, I'm not giving you $100, but I'll take you over there to Gators, where Stebbins is going to be tonight, and I'll sit you down, and I'll leave a $100 bill with the cashier, and you eat to your heart's extent. You know, just eat till you're full.
Mm-hmm.
I would take you up on that because I'm hungry. But most people be like, nah, don't worry about it, and they walk off, right? So this lady and her daughter followed me to Publix because I was going in to get a cake or something. And I was like, all right, well, maybe they really are hungry. And then my heart started to break. So I said to the lady, I said, listen, I don't want to make this weird. Y'all just go in and pick out what you want. I'm going to get what I need. When we check out, just put it all on the counter. I'll pay for all of it, and y'all get y'all's bags. I'll get mine, and we'll just go separate ways because I don't want you to feel weird in Publix with, you know, some guy standing behind you paying for your stuff. So they were like, oh, thank you very much. So they were very hesitant on what they picked out. So I was like, I have 14-year-old kids. I know how they eat. So I'm telling the girl, baby, don't be scared. Like, if you want chips or a soda, whatever, just get whatever you need, you know. And as we're walking up, my heart started to break. So I paid for their food, and then I gave them another $60. It set me back about $80-$85 for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walk out, I'm like, man, I was devastated inside. I called my brother-in-law. I may nickname him Liberal Tony. I don't know for the show's sake, but I'll call him Repeat. I love my brother-in-law, Tony. He calls me yesterday. I had to give him a replay of the show because he missed a little bit of it. But my heart was breaking because I had children that age. And I'm thinking, what possibly could go wrong with a 35-year-old mom or lady and a kid where they have nobody else in the world? They're walking the street of Lake Mary, which Lake Mary does not have a large homeless problem. And they're trying to get to a shelter in Daytona. So I did what I thought was the right thing. My wife's like, sucker, you got played. I was like, what? She's like, that's the oldest trick in the book. I was like, first of all, how do you know street tricks? Don't answer that, please. She's like, no. She's like, Jonathan, even if there is a man in a hotel room or a car, you wouldn't give a man any money. But a lady and her daughter, I'm surprised you didn't give her more money. I was like, yeah, I wanted to give her like $200. But I didn't. I just gave her what she asked for.
Instead, you gave her grocery bags, and now she's hauling those things up and down Lake Mary. She'd probably throw them out.
All right, so you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Last night, I had to make a late delivery. Got a lot going on in my life right now, so I had to make a late delivery. I'm up one intersection past Publix, right, just north of the plaza. Then you get up there, there's a little Chevron. I'm sorry, like a Circle K or something. Only place in Lake Mary on the left side of the road got diesel there. So I whip in and get diesel. The place is packed. There's cars everywhere. There's a lady pumping fuel right next to me. So I'm trying to set this up. Lady pumping fuel right next to me. I got my back. I got my box truck. And I'm trying to get diesel. I got to unlock my tank and all that stuff. I can feel somebody coming up behind me. And as I turn, they come up so fast, she was reaching out to touch me on my shoulder. And I kind of jumped because I don't want anybody touching me, especially if I don't know you.
Sure.
So I kind of jumped, and she jumped, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just didn't know if you could help us. And I immediately saw it was the lady and the daughter.
Mm-mm-mm.
And anger just flooded through my body. So I looked at her, and I said, you haven't made it to Daytona yet? And she realized that she had already knew me. Her eyes lit up. She looked straight at the ground. She grabbed the girl by her forearm, and they darted behind the Circle K dumpster, whatever it's called back there. And so I called my wife. I was like, dang, government. I was like, these trifling crackers got me.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy, you know, Amy's telling me all this about how they're probably making so much money every night. They probably live in a big house somewhere. They just run a game, or they got a drug problem or whatever. And then I'm sitting there, and the lady pumping fuel next to me is looking at me, and I was like, oh, wow, did they talk to you? She's like, no. I was like, baby, they passed three women to come up to a man by himself. So it's a game, right? I got suckered. I got played.
Yeah, you did. I feel, you know, out of all that entire story, though, I feel bad for the kid.
I feel terrible. Because even if
that kid has no chance.
Even if the kid is part of the ploy, you know what I mean? Like, let's say she is. Let's say the kid's part of the ploy. I could not imagine that she's part of the ploy by choice. That's either her mom or aunt, some lady she met on the street. Mm-hmm. I don't know the scenario. So here's what I need to know from y'all, from everybody. I'm a very firm believer in snitches and stitches, all right? And mind your own business. But I almost felt like I should have called the police department last night.
Yeah, DCF needs to get involved with that. If there's a child,
you know, DCF. And I don't know if the girl was 13, 14, 15. I don't know. Because I'm not going to lie, and I don't mean this in a perverted way, but girls are different than they were when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
All right? For lack of a better word, like, girls were sheets of plywood when we were growing up. They were flat and easy to nail. Now it's, they look like grown women. I have daughters, and I have to tell them, you need to go back inside and change. That's too much body part showing. Because, I mean, just, you know, we're growing as humanity. We're bigger people now than we used to be.
Yes.
Girls found gyms. Guys, you know, everybody found gyms. Everybody goes and works out. So I'm not trying to overindulge. I don't want you thinking about little kids. But you get what I'm saying. Like, you can't tell the age of a person sometimes. So she may have been 16, 15. You know, who knows? But I almost felt like I should have called the cops and be like, hey, listen, I can't tell you there's something going on. But it's very weird to me that an older lady and a young girl is walking around only talking to men looking for assistance.
What's hard, too, is, yeah, you would call the cops. Maybe a trooper would come, or maybe a cop, an officer would come out. You would explain everything to him, but what could he really do? What would he really do?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Yeah. Is there any help, and do you make it worse by calling? Because now I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, you know?
I don't think you make it worse, but I'm not sure. It sucks because there's just nothing that anybody's going to do about it. Meanwhile, this lady goes unchecked, and if this is a child, like I said, the girl has no chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, so I felt terrible for that. I felt just as bad that I got played. I'm not going to lie to you. Everybody knows I eat my humble pie one slice at a time, covered in Cool Whip.
Hey, we all get played from time to time.
I don't know if I've... And this is terrible to say. I'm a terrible human being, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. I am a terrible human being. I think I was more angry that I got suckered than I got played. Because I'm pretty proud of myself. Like, I have discernment, you know? Like, I can see through people. I can read people. I'm normally never wrong. Like, when I call a spade, it's a spade. But, man, I missed this one. I missed it bad.
Yeah, she got you. I ain't even going to laugh at you because I feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for the trifling lady. I feel sorry for the kid. That's it. Yeah. I mean, you did what you thought was right at the time, and I'm sure other people in your area have probably given in to her, probably men, because that's who she seems to go to, because she knows women are going to be like, get out of here. Women can read that stuff
away. No, and that's the other thing. The night at Publix, she didn't even look or go toward Alyssa. Now, Alyssa's 21 years old, so it's not like Alyssa was a child.
Right.
She came to me, and so the whole thing now, so I'm ate up about it, all right? I'm just ate up about it. So anyways, let me wrap up the night because it didn't get any better. Then it got good. Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm kind of a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, you're all right.
People that don't know me, and that's weird sometimes. But then it's also good. Now, I didn't play this card. I just wrote the card. All right, so don't accuse me of being...
That lady's... Jonathan will give you money if you go up to him.
Yeah, if you do, come up to me and beg. And, well, let's not go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going down to Celebration, make my deliveries. There's nowhere in Celebration for a man to use the bathroom. The only places they have down there are like walk-in, sit-down restaurants. They don't have like a time saver, convenience store.
Correct.
For you just to run in and be like, hey, can I use the bathroom out back?
I go to Mulligan's to pee. I understand.
Yeah, then you go in, they want you to buy a beer, sit down at the bar, they get mad at you for going all the way to the back to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. All right, so I come out of I-4 on-ramp, plenty of room on the shoulder. I pull over to use the restroom. And I hear I had some stuff in the box truck, And I heard it kind of fall over. When I got off, maybe I got off too fast. So I go to a little, you know, area where you know where you can see me. I use the bathroom. And then I'm fixing the thing that fell over my truck, and Florida Highway Patrol pulls up behind me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I give the guy the thumbs up, like, hey, I'm all good. Everything's great. And I go to get back in my truck, and he, like, flags me back, like, you better not leave. You don't want me to chase you down. This is what I want to be. You know, instead of a big old white Bronco, you don't want a big old white box truck cruising through downtown Orlando.
Cameras.
With Highway Patrol behind me. So I'm not going to say the gentleman's name because I don't know how that works, and I don't want to put him out there in case people don't like Howard Patrolman. But he says, hey, well, since you're here and I'm here, let's do an inspection. And I'm like, great. It's the last thing I want to do at 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night on my way back from a long day after getting played by two white people, two white girls. Mm-hmm. All right? And now I'm getting an inspection. And normally, no disrespect, I understand these guys got to keep everybody safe. But they put DOT power on Highway Patrol power now. So now Highway Patrol basically is DOT. And I understand they got to keep the community safe. So my truck needs to be in good working order. But I have a fender where my light goes. It's a little bit loose that I got kind of glued up there. And, you know, there's a little crack in the one corner of the windshield. So there's things that he can obviously write me up for.
Sure.
But nothing that's a danger to society or danger to me or the truck or anybody else. So he gets all my information, my paperwork, my weight. Pulls my serial number, checks my axles, gets my name and my driver's license, all that stuff, goes to the back. And, man, he's back there forever, what seems like forever. So I call Amy. And when you've lived a lifestyle like, you know, before you met Jesus, no matter how long you've been on the right side of the world, when they light you up, you think the worst. Like, all right, there's something that I missed, something I didn't know about. Like, I'm going down. They're going to, you know.
Local radio host Jonathan Morris.
Yeah.
Seemed like a nice guy. But unfortunately failed an inspection on the side of I-4. More coming up tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly how it would be going down. Mm. Yeah, local farmer in Lake Mary, radio host. Yeah, 20 to life. So I'm on the phone with Amy, and Amy's like, calm down, John. And she's like, it's been over 25 years. You don't do anything wrong. You know, you're on the right. Everything is paid, the insurance, the this, the that. You're good. You don't have nothing to worry about. I was like, baby, he's back there. Been back there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there. So she's like, all right, let's go over stuff we need to do for work. So we're going over emails and texts and orders for cows and whatnot. And he comes walking back up and he's like, man, you're doing a fantastic job. I was like, excuse me?
Oof.
He's like, Morris Family Farms, Jonathan Morris. I was like, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
He's like, yeah. He's like, sorry it took so long. I was checking you out online back there.
Did he go, I'm a listener to Florida Man?
Yeah, he knew about the show, but he didn't go into detail, and I was trying to get out of there. So I didn't go into too detail.
Man, that's Stedman, something else. He's great.
So we went in, we shook hands, you know, and I apologized to him for making him, you know, waste his time on me on the side of the road when he could be doing more important things. But it was pretty cool to know a guy I've never met in my life out there serving our community. And he thinks I'm doing a fantastic job.
And nothing will pucker you up quicker than a cop's lights right behind you. My God.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, what'd I do?
It don't matter. So he gave me a warning. He's like, I could write you a ticket. He's like, pulling over on the side of the road to do what you're doing, you know, is against the law.
I was like, okay.
I was like, man. So there's a couple, and I didn't know this, and I used to drive a lowboy, which is like a semi that hugs the ground. Okay. All right. And it carries equipment. So I've had all the CDLs, you know, and everything back when I was on the farm. And we'd, a low boy, we'd carry mule trains and farm equipment from Florida to Georgia. So I know most of the rules. And I still get accused today, even in my personal vehicle. I make turns like I'm pulling the low boy on a semi. And people laugh at me for the way I turn around corners. But, you know, you never want to rub the curb. But I did not know, if you're out there and you don't know this, if you pull over on the shoulder rather than an exit, Highway Patrol, local, state, county, they can pull you over and give you a ticket. It's a ticketable offense to be on the shoulder unauthorized.
Well, I mean, obviously, what if you're having car problems? Is that different?
I think if that's the case, you're supposed to get all the way off the blacktop
okay. And
have your hazards on. So that's a different situation, being broke down. Okay. Just stopping on the shoulder because, like, hey, I'm tired, or hey, I'm eating a sandwich, or hey, I'm going to do whatever. Because it seems like the right thing to do, especially, you know, commercial vehicles, you're not allowed to have your handheld device, your phone in your hands.
Right.
That's a $5,000 ticket. So it seems like the right thing to do. You got to catch up on some messages, some texts, pull off the side of the road, get all caught up, and then get back out. But if you don't pull over at the right place, then, yeah, that's a tickable offense. So, anyways, that's a PSA to everybody out there.
No, that's good advice. That's right. I had no idea. I mean, not that I would pull over on the side, because my biggest fear is merging back into traffic, especially on a turnpike when everybody's doing 90.
Right.
So that would be my biggest fear. So I wouldn't do it unless I absolutely had to, unless I had a blown tire or something. But
okay, so let me tell you the words of my good, good buddy. They say he's my slim twin. He's up in Georgia. His name's Richard Searcy, and he drives trucks. And I was like this with the low boy. In the box truck, I'm a little more vulnerable because I'm only 26 feet long. I mean, it's bigger than most cars, but I'm nowhere near the size of an 18-wheeler.
Right.
In the words of my good buddy, Slim Twin, that's what they call him my Slim Twin. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. So when you see a semi put on their blinker and they're either getting back on the road or they're trying to get over, they're not asking you. They're letting you know, I'm coming. You better get out of the way. I believe that's still the rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then he had another thing he used to say about getting over in the far left lane and let it eat. That's when you're geared all the way down, that baby's to the floor, and you're rolling. And y'all better just get out of the way. They got to get freight. They got to carry freight. They got to roll.
I understand.
You know, so that's probably how I'm going to be driving this Saturday. In the left lane, letting it eat, because I got somewhere to be.
So look out for Jonathan.
You know where I got to be?
He's kind of a big deal. Where do you got to be? I know exactly where you got to be. Go ahead and mention where you got to be.
And I'm hoping, listen, I keep saying this, and I'm not playing, guys. I'll put you up in a hotel. I've been known to give travelers $60-$80 and buy your food. You know, you show up at Publix and be like, hey, man, I came down here for Stogies and Spirits and got no place to sleep and I'm hungry. I may buy you a box of chicken and put you up in a hotel. November 19th, this Saturday, coming up. So for everybody, if you're in Central Florida, it's a shoe-in. It's the place to be. If you're outside of Central Florida and you have time to drive over, fly over, you know, hop a plane, whatever, come see us. It's from 6 to 10. It's at Gatlin Hall Brewery, 4721 South Orange Avenue in Orlando. You're going to get to hang out with Bubba the Love Sponge. I've actually only been in the room with that guy one time in my life, and we really didn't talk. I tried to shake his hand, but he's like a superstar, I guess. There's so many people around him. I was like, I ain't trying to get in this crowd. He's a pretty cool guy. He's got his whole crew with him. Mm-hmm. You can meet him. Shannon Burke will be there with Eric, and then I'll be there. Sam, are you going to join us? Are you available?
I'm unavailable, even though I would love to meet Anna. She was there.
So, okay. I don't know. Oh, Anna's on Bubba's show, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard her name, yes.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Well, my wife will be there. I believe some other people's wives will be there. So it's going to be a fun time. The first 100 guests, you get a free VIP package. You don't want to miss this. You're going to get a Florida Man. I think the young people call it drip or swag or something.
Yeah.
It's basically a T-shirt.
One or the other. Yeah.
It's a T-shirt. And then there's a company called Hitting Skins. Is that a dirty company? Is that what I think it is?
Could be. I don't know.
I don't know. If anybody ever knows about Hitting Skins, like, what do they do? What's their deal? They're going to be there. Old Time Cigars. And then Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They're, like, helping host the event. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, and I'll be there. I'll be there. I may not be the biggest person there because there's other big people in the world, but... So don't just go out looking
for... Jonathan will give you food, and he'll give you money, especially if you're a lady. So come on up to Jonathan, say hello, and say, hey, man, can you break me off 20?
Yeah, be like, I'm hungry, and I walk from Orlando.
Yep.
I'm trying to get to Daytona. Hey, guys, so I want to tell you... Well, before I go into the chicken story, I want to just say real quick, because we're getting close to Thanksgiving, getting close to the holidays. I'm almost out of turkey, so if you haven't got a turkey, you got to get one now. If we run out, don't fear. Because we have hams, we have prime ribs. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, big turkey is the reason we eat turkey on Thanksgiving, right? We could eat beef. We could eat pork. You can even eat fish. I think if you're Italian, was that Christmas? Italian people eat fish, seven mm-hmm. fish or something at Christmas.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is we got everything you need. We got sides. Mama is hard at it. We got sweet potato souffle. We got mashed potatoes and gravy with extra gravy. We got to have collard greens made the way my wife makes them. And she got her recipe from Ms. Veda Burroughs. And y'all don't even know about Pawpaw and Ms. Veda. Oh, Pawpaw, honky tonk. He was actually a highway patrolman.
Okay.
Yes, down in Pahokee, Florida. Mama's homemade green beans that are the best green beans you ever ate in your life. They're almost addicting. you would almost snort them out of a can. That's how addicting they are. Just imagine chopping up a green bean and be like, I got to get it in my body right now. How can I get this into my body? And then we're going to have dinner rolls. We're going to have cornbread. Sorry, Stephanie, you're not here yet. We're going to have cornbread. We're going to have biscuits. We're going to have all the fixings, all the trimmings, some pecan pies, some apple pies. So you need to get a hold of 407-402-5686. Come down. I want to meet you. And we've had a great response to the new Meet Your Farmer and His Family. Mm-hmm. And we're doing that from 1 to 6. That specialized, personalized shopping where you come in and my wife or Alina or myself or Gibby or Miss Lisa, there's only five of us now. We've trimmed a lot of the fat. We're getting back to our roots of just personal family business with personal family customers. So it's a fantastic time because we get to walk you through the process. You know, yesterday I brought Austin to the back. We were breaking down the back quarter of a cow, and he's like, I don't know. No, I don't even know what that is. I said, well, that's how it starts. I was like, that's that piece right there is where the T-bones, porterhouses, all that good stuff comes from, sirloins. So it was pretty cool. And we offer that to a lot of people. You can watch the process, see how we do the things. Oh, cool. Steven, I'm going to get to these texts when we get back from the break. But since I asked, and you may be curious, Steven just put, he's from Fort Walton Beach. He knows more than I know. Hidden Skins is a screen printing company in Orlando.
Ah.
Thank you, Steven, from Fort Walton. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. All right. So TSA doing what TSA does. There's a couple things about this story that'll kind of blow your mind. Like, did you know it's legal in a carry-on check bag to have raw chicken, fish, pork? No. As long as you got ice on it.
Okay.
Would you want to be on a plane with a man with a bag of raw meat?
No.
Did you also know you're allowed to carry an unloaded gun as long as you announce it and you have it in a lockbox?
Hey, if it's unloaded and locked up, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I really don't have a problem with good guys having guns anywhere. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I support an open carry law. You know, I don't want everybody to be like old John Wayne style where we're taking 10 paces and turning around. But nothing deters a bad guy like a good guy with a gun. You know, some knucklehead comes busting into your front door, he's gonna rob the place, and then homeboy turns around and he's got two on his side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And three other people do.
It's a good deterrent.
Yeah, I believe the knucklehead's going to slowly back out, excuse himself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So TSA doing exactly what TSA is supposed to do. Not all the other stuff they do. They were checking bags. And would you believe? This is what's crazy because I just don't get people. Like, I don't understand who thought that, how you thought this was a good idea. All right? And how small was the gun? Because, Stephanie, you know what a chicken looks like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you could get like a Glock 9mm in a chicken without it being, without it sticking out of the chicken.
Yeah, it would be sticking out the chicken.
So, of course, they saw the chicken, and then inside the chicken, this is where it gets kind of weird, there was a handgun inside the chicken, inside the ice, inside the bag. TSA wants you to know there's nothing wrong with the gun. There's nothing wrong with the chicken. But it's the gun in the chicken, unannounced. That's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. We have an opportunity for you to get filthy rich. Go get your private security license during this break. And when you get back, I'm going to tell you how you can become a billionaire. Florida Man Radio, Jonathan Morris, 321-339-1055. Join the show. And also, I got a party for you to go to tonight if you're interested up in Lake Mary. We'll be right back.
Who is Florida Man?
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
He is Florida Man. The Jonathan Morris Show on Florida Man Radio.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came.
Hey, everybody, what's cracking like it?
That's better.
Is that better?
That's better.
I got a text from Mama Morris saying I need some more energy on that crack-a-lack.
See, that's what executive producers do, is they let you know when you're not pulling your weight.
Would now be the appropriate time to say if you had to warm me out last night, I'd have more energy.
That would be inappropriate, yes.
Oh,
still eating their breakfast.
Can you hit that dump button then? It's too late. We lost it. We lost the dump button.
It's already gone.
I love you, Mama. Energy is through the roof for the rest of the show. I'm loud and proud. Austin says the Italian sausage was fire last night.
Fire.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, that Italian sausage we have, we roast the fennel. We open it up, so we don't burn the fennel, but we open it up. And I didn't know this until I knew this, but that's one of the ways you get authentic Italian sausage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then you have to drop a couple spices. So you drop the sage, you drop a few spices, add a few spices. I can't give you all my secrets. Because the next thing you know, there'll be organic meat shops everywhere. There'll be like 7-Elevens.
Exactly.
And David.
And somehow they would cut you out of the equation, so no, you don't want that.
Yeah, I need to learn how to franchise. David says, hey, thanks, buddy. David from Winter Springs. On his way to Woodstock, Georgia, with a 7.6-pound boneless prime rib he picked up at Organic Meats yesterday, and he got to meet the farmer's daughter.
Nice.
They even sold him a prime rib. Thank you, sir. And yes, I'm glad I have a show to myself now. Thank you very much. Safe travels, my friend. Ray Ray, what's cracking? Like him, buddy. I appreciate you, Ray Ray. You're a good dude. Ray Ray says, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jonathan. The way he looks at it is, I got a big heart. Big heart. My heart be big.
You do.
And God doesn't like ugly. Those girls will get, in the end, what they deserve for me to just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you were definitely coming from a good place. It's unfortunate because, like I said, I mean, I've been around women, you know, my entire life, obviously, and, you know, mothers, sisters, things like that. And, you know, I'll say, man, it's such a shame that, you know, this woman, you know, she's at court trying to get money because she said she got sexually abused. And my mom or sister be like, she's lying.
Right.
And not every time, but it would turn out that they were right. And it was, oh, like, man.
That whole, oh, we got any ladies out there? I haven't heard from my ladies in a couple of days.
Yeah, Stacy Niceville, where are you at?
Stacy, Karen, Kate, come on, ladies, chime in. My wife calls it woman's intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally woman's intuition is followed by, baby, you are my favorite lady. And then, she threw me for a sidetrack. She texted me something capital letters. I don't know if I can read this.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm so sorry right now. Hey, this is what you get. It's real life. The mind of Jonathan Morris. Normally followed by the intuition of a woman is the scorn of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want the scorn of a woman. Hey, Charles. Charles at Athens. Hey, my man, you may know my buddy Richard up there. He lives up in Stevens County. Take out 29 up there towards 71. But, yeah, he's the same way, man. I don't blame you. He says, I'm an aggressive tractor-trailer driver. You don't want to see me in your mirror. And I don't know. I don't understand where certain people, I'm going to derail for a minute. I don't understand where certain people in vehicles feel like they have the right. Like, you're driving an electric little car. Maybe you're driving a little Kia. And no disrespect to small cars. People drive what they can afford or what they feel comfortable in. But you're driving a car that weighs, 2,000 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and you have a 90,000-pound loaded semi behind you, or maybe they're 80,000, whatever they're carrying. Maybe they're pushing the limit, and they're at a buck 20. All right? Get out of their way.
Yeah.
Just get out of their way. These guys are moving America. They're not just out there cruising. They're not running down to the Piggly Wiggly or to the Burger King to get a sandwich. These guys are they are working. That's why they're driving. Semi drivers don't just go cruise in their semi, unless maybe they're bobtailing, but that's a different story. Get out of their way. Have some respect. Get off the road.
Exactly. No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I've thought that many times. So.
Yeah. Oh, Amy says that, oh, man. All right, David, she tricked you. Daggum trifling cracker.
Mm-hmm.
This is a compliment, though, to me and my wife. So he met my wife, Amy. Amy is the one that sold you the prime rib, David, yesterday. Cha-ching. I'm winning. Baby, you can be the farmer's daughter any day you want to. We'll play. We get a little.
So what else is going on in the world, Jonathan?
A little crossplay. So if you want to get filthy rich, you have to move to Arizona. Yuma, Arizona. I don't know much about the place. Did I pronounce that right?
You did.
So apparently, when you have 6,000 people a day crossing your backyard, it could become a strain on your resources. It could, overwhelm your hospitals. You think? You know, and I've had people in my family, outside of my family, customers of mine. One of the biggest things, and I don't want to say the only thing, because everybody has multiple opinions, maybe. But one of the biggest things they keep bringing up about DeSantis is, oh, he flew the migrants to Martha's Vineyard. How dare him? Them are human beings.
Right.
Okay, great. The federal government opened up the border and has allowed those migrants to flood across into the southern states. So I gave this analogy to my brother-in-law the other day. I said, what if my house and your house were somewhat together, like through like mutual understanding? So I'm the federal government, you're the state. All right? And then I start sending people to your house every day, your front door. You open up, you knock, knock on the front door. Hey, knock, knock, Uncle Tony. It's me. Well, who are you? I'm so-and-so. Jonathan sent us over here, and there's 10 of them. And then tomorrow, 10 more, and tomorrow, 10 more, and tomorrow, 10 more, and tomorrow, 10 more, and the next day, 10 more. At what point do you have to tell these people, I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. I don't have any more room. I don't have any more food. You're breaking my family, my house. My children don't have a place to sleep anymore. We're out of water. We're out of power. We're out of everything. Y'all got to do, we got to figure something else out. And I say to you, suck it up, buttercup, and I send 10 more, and 10 more, and 10 more. At some point, you have to do something. And it's not your job to call me and run it through me, because I'm the one screwing you, sending these people down your throat every daggum day. So I don't blame the governors in the southern states for shipping these people to, wait a minute, places that identified under President Trump as sanctuary cities. We're sanctuary cities. We don't care what the president says. If you can get across the border, come to our town, come to our city. We're going to feed you. We're going to house you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to give you resources. We're going to educate your children. And now all of a sudden, they don't want no part of it. So let me tell you what's going on in UMA. So if you want to be a private security officer, if you have your, I don't know, there's, I think there's a B or C, or I don't know all the details. But if you want to be a private security, they are hiring private security officers 90 to nothing right now in the time of, in the town of Yuma, in the town of Yuma. So here's what's kind of going on. They need armed guards. So you got to be armed and you got to be maybe somewhat aggressive, because it's going to be like maybe you and another guy and like, you know, 6,000 people coming across staring at you. So out of the 4 million migrants that have crossed the border since President Biden took over, 1 million of them have traveled through the Arizona southern border.
Man.
That's crazy.
That is a lot.
So that's a 171% increase between 2021 and 2022. So one guy, his name's Jonathan Lyons, he's a supervisor in Yuma. He says these migrants are constantly coming into homes, yards, and they're not very respectful. It's not what you see on TV. Thousands of migrants are crossing over residential properties and the farmland. You know, I don't know if you know this, but that part of the country is vast farming. It's huge agriculture. And we need those crops. I mean, what you romaine lettuce right now is $105 at the farm.
I know, and this is crazy.
$105 for a case of romaine. All right, there's 24 heads in the case. We don't need any more attacks on agriculture right now. We are having a hard time. So this is what the guy, this is the problem that's happening. Okay? They are creating safety concerns, obviously. They're hurting the crops. And you say, well, how would they hurt the crops? Wouldn't it be good for the crops? You know, Nancy Pelosi says, we're going to send these migrants back south so they can pick vegetables. But what happens when there aren't any vegetables to pick? And I'll tell you why there aren't any vegetables to pick. But the residents of Yuma who pay their taxes and live there, and they've been there for a long time, are now facing problems because they have poor people and homeless people and people that need assistance in Yuma. The food banks are being overrun by thousands and thousands of Mexicans. I shouldn't use the word Mexican because they're coming from everywhere. Honduras, Venezuelan.
Yes.
South, they're coming from everywhere. All right, migrants. We'll use the word migrants. Thousands and thousands of migrants are lining up so fast, the police can't do anything about it. There's not enough police. There's not enough National Guard to get these people somewhere else so the residents who normally depend on these services can get to their services. They have people showing up directly to churches, overwhelming them. Food banks, overwhelming them. Some residents in Yuma are having to go, for instance, here's a call. This came in too. Hello, how can I help you? I'm kind of upset right now. I just had to drive my wife from Yuma to San Diego to deliver a baby because when we got to the hospital, they told us there were no beds. Because these people that are coming across the border, they don't necessarily understand maybe, you know, you go down, you pay your insurance premium, they tell you about a primary doctor, you call, and, you know, of course, I mean, Stephen, you know this. Hey, this is Jonathan. I'd like to get a doctor's appointment to see Dr. So-and-so.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We have a next available in March of 2025.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what? I got something on my toe I need to take care of. I don't have anything on my toes, but you know what I'm saying?
I do.
So they just flood the emergency rooms. And when you leave the emergency room and you go upstairs, that's the hospital. So all the hospitals are being overwhelmed. So Yuma is a large agriculture community. And I understand... For all the liberals out there, broken heart crybabies, I understand they've walked thousands and thousands of miles and they're tired. And of course, the shortest point between two objects is a straight line. But instead of these people walking around the roads, they're just cutting across the fields.
Right.
So, you know, you read in the Bible about the plague of like the locusts that came down when Pharaoh wouldn't let the Egyptians go and or the Israelites go and God sent the locusts or whatever down, and they just ransacked the crops, and there was nothing left. Do you know what 6,000 people walking across the cornfield looks like? Mm. Or a cabbage field or a lettuce field?
Can only imagine.
You know, they're not walking in between the rows. Like, when my kids come to the farm, we're very particular, but more particularly when we visit a friend of mine's farm. And I make dadgum sure that my children know you walk in between the alleyways, in between the rows. You don't jump and cross over, because if you break leaves off, if you break stems or vines off, you damage that plant. And then it either gets a fungus or an infection, or it doesn't produce the way it's supposed to produce. These people are walking across the crops, and they're damaging thousands of farmland acreage. At some point, those vegetables are going to need to be harvested and shipped all over our country to feed us. And we're not going to have them. So that may sound selfish. I don't think so. I think the border needs to be shut down. I think people need to, and I don't know, Biden says there won't be any changes in the next 2 years. You know?
I don't know.
Tell me about your deep breath.
No, I mean, I'm kind of going back and forth in my head because I don't think a wall is the solution either. I don't think, you know, just putting up one wall and going, okay, you know, this is going to solve it. I don't think that's going to solve it.
So you're right. I just watched a movie called The Marksman with
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, yes. I love that guy. He's great. He's so bad, he's great.
Got a particular set of skills.
Yeah. Yes. In this movie, it showed the cartels and the trafficking of people, and it showed this one coyote-type guy that was like a... He appeared to be a good guy helping people get across the border. But the cartels were like a foot on them and they were running them down. So he's like, hey, y'all aren't worth dying for. So he explained to the lady where to go in the wall and what piece of the wall to move back. That there was a spot to get across.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how good you build a wall or a fence, they will find a way to go under, over, or through. I get that. But I think the first thing that needs to happen, and the wall or some type of a barrier and some type of post, like, you know, outpost, military post, is very necessary. But before that, there has to be a clear statement from the federal government that says the border is closed. And I almost think, and if you're in Mexico on business, I apologize, fly in, all right, figure out how to get on a plane. But I almost think that for 2 weeks, maybe a month, they shut the whole thing down. Nobody's getting through. Nobody. I don't care if you're legal or not. Nobody's crossing the foot border until we get this thing under control. If you don't stop the bleeding, you can never get healthy.
I definitely agree there's an issue. I don't know. It seems so simplistic to go, well, you know, let's just put up a wall that's going to stop it. I don't think that's going to, you know, I don't believe in absolute solutions. Well, if we just put up a wall, it's going to stop it. Nobody's going to get through. No, that's not necessarily true. They'll find a way. People always find a way. So what's the other solution? Let's just shoot people. No, that's not the best solution either. So I don't know. Obviously, the federal government is not pulling their weight. I will acknowledge that. I will give you that.
Thank you.
No question.
Well, it's kind of like the Seminole Lake Mary game. Oh, by the way, they have a rematch this week. We'll get to that as we get closer to the weekend for playoffs in Florida. But when we hosted Seminole, we were doing the security check and the fence line and where we're putting bathrooms and concessions and everything to facilitate all those people. And the AD said to me, we sold 900 tickets, but we're expecting another 150 to jump the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that they still did not sell and take and check tickets and that they did not still have Seminole County Sheriff Department there. I think like 15 or 16 were there around the stadium. So just because you can't stop a problem doesn't mean you still try to fix the problem and limit your exposure.
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, that,
you know,
yeah.
So you can't say putting up a wall, you know, is not part of the solution. There has to be a barrier, a barricade, a stop point. That's what people know. You have to stop here.
But it's just such a political talking point to go, well, I'm going to put up a wall. Hey! And then, yeah.
Yeah, the same wall they're putting up now that Biden then went back to building because they realized there's a problem. All right. So we had, and I know you're ready. I know you want it. I held back just a little bit on purpose. All right, well, let me finish. If you can get a plane ticket to Yuma, they're hiring personal, private security guards for residents, of political officials, and that's when you know you live in a bad spot. When your town gets to the point that you publicly announce you are looking for private security places to come to help secure your land, your government has failed you on every level. Local, federal, state, on every level, you have been failed as a citizen of the United States of America. And that's my take of it. All right, so we had an announcement. There was an announcement. We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's...
Or can we? Play the announcement.
All right, here he is.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
There you go.
So, in case you missed it, Donald Trump, and we all knew this was coming. We were expecting it. You know, he's a showman, I think, first. And he's always been one. That's just who he is. He's a billionaire guy. He's been on national. He's been on, you know, big, whatever it's called, TV with The Apprentice and different things. And he knows how to ham up a party. So, and I don't think it was a coincidence that his announcement came minutes after DeSantis was standing before a group of people, and we'll get to all that. But Trump announced, and I know in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some things come out about Trump and DeSantis and some different things. I was told something, you know, okay, so let me warn you, if you ever get a radio show, don't tell people about it, because then everybody wants to tell you what you should be covering, and everybody, I listen to everybody. I at least look at it. Because you never know who's like, man, they got it. They were sitting on the gold mine. But my goodness, can you be inundated with stories from people that they're like, you need to cover this. You need to talk about this. Nobody knows about this.
Everybody's a producer.
And I understand. But I think that's why shows like mine and Shannon and Bubba is so important. Because y'all are about the smartest audience on the planet. Okay? And you're craving truth and information. All right, the Republicans, sorry, this just popped up, 209 to 217. All right, we still need one more. All right, sorry. We need one seat left, guys, to get the House. It's very crazy to me that the Republicans have gained so much ground. I'm the Democrats. It went from 180 to 209 in the last couple of days. That just blows my mind. But anyways, our whole system needs to be fixed. But so Donald Trump at times has said some things that are, you know, very hairy, very personal. He goes after people's, you know, character and, you know, their wives and things that I think are not very presidential. But also, I feel like his policies were some of the best policies we've seen in a long time. And I believe 100% in my heart, we have to get back to taking care of our own house. If we don't take care of our house, we can't help our neighbor. If my power is getting cut off today, and you call me and tell me your power got cut off, you need me to help you put it back on, I can't put your power back. I can't pay your power bill. So you've got to take care of yourself first, so then you can take care of other people. That goes all the way to the border. We got to stop the bleeding. We got to fix medical and health care and all the stuff inside of our country, taxes, business, infrastructure, you know, manufacturing, all this stuff that has to be fixed. But I have two sides of this coin. I have one side that if Donald Trump does this and nothing else, he'll win by a landslide victory, and it'll blow everybody's mind on every side of the political arena. And then the other side of the coin is they're expecting defeat already in 2024 based on the last 2 years. Florida Man Radio, I'm Jonathan Morris. If you want to chime in, 321-339-1055. We'll get to more of this, but there is a trivia game tonight in the Central Florida area if you live close to Gators Dockside in Lake Mary.
Yeah, buddy.
Yours truly, Stedman's there.
7 p.m., people.
So you don't want to miss it. I'm sure he's going to have some great stuff for you.
Oh, yeah. No, there are great great prizes. $40 off your bell for first place. I mean, that's pretty good at Gators Dockside. That's the big trivia show, bigtriviashow.com. Check it out starting at 7 o'clock, Gators Dockside, Lake Mary.
Yeah, $40, that'll get you a full meal and some drinks and stuff.
Yeah, well.
Maybe even cover your tip. Who knows? All right, we'll be right back. Florida Man Radio. Don't turn the channel.
WDYZ Altamont Springs, WFYY HD3 Windermere, WXUS HD3, W266DY Dunellen, WZLB Valparaiso. It's the Jonathan Morris Show on Florida Man Radio.
So I'm willing to admit that I don't know enough to get into a heavily battled debate. But I do know two narratives, and I'm gonna give you both narratives. Please don't beat your radio or throw your phone out your window when I give you the first narrative. This is not a narrative for me. This is the Democratic response to Trump announcing his candidacy. All right, but first, Mike. Yes, I got in a
yeah.
I got
you got sucked,
Charles. All right, my man. Local FedEx freight. All right, I believe, Pete, are you trying to sing me a song, Bob? He said, all I know about Yuma is that the train going there leaves at 310.
Yeah, 310 of Yuma, that's a movie or a book
yes.
or a song?
Yes, yeah, a movie. I think it's a movie. Let me see here. A wall may not solve it. This is from Ryan. A wall may not solve it, but neither will any one particular solution. It's going to require all solutions. I really hate the wall deniers. No, I agree with you. There's multiple facets, you know, or of the solution, and there's things that have to take place. A wall by itself can just be torn down. I mean, it can be dug under, it can be climbed over, it can be cut through. All right, we have to have some type of military post. I'm not saying we go back to like you know colonial days when you actually had you know all these forts that lined us. Our coast and our different places to be on lookout, but maybe we do. And maybe with technology and how fast, you know, missiles and planes and drones and stuff can move around, maybe they're, you know, 500, 1,000 miles apart. I just threw that number out there, okay? But we need to have some type of guard guarding our border, as well as a wall, a checkpoint, and a checkpoint that actually can funnel the people in so they're not overwhelmed and they can actually do their due diligence to keep the drugs and sex trafficking and all this stuff from flooding into our country at that area. I mean, there's other ports. You know, you got New York, you got other places, you know, that people come into to the country. Mm-hmm. But this is the biggest one causing the biggest problems, and it has to be addressed. All right, my ladies are checking in. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Kansas, I'm here and listening, dealing with plumbing issues at the house.
Man, that stinks.
Thanks to the back-to-back hurricanes, our lift station stopped working. Oh, man.
Stinky.
Yeah. I hope they're fixing it for you, Karen. If they're not, tell your husband to go outside, follow the line down at the corner of your house. There's a little cap there you can put a pipe wrench on, take it off. Now, unfortunately, it will pour into the yard, but it'll keep it out of your house. That's a little farm trick there.
A life hack from Jonathan Morris.
Yeah, you don't want it in the house. I'd rather fertilize the lawn or the side yard of the neighbors than to have it coming in through the, you know, the drains of the house.
Yeah, just put it in the neighbor's yard. That's my advice.
Be like, hey, I'm looking out, bro. I'm breaking bread. Fertilizing your yard. Looked a little rough.
See that? See how green it is now?
Thought you needed some phosphorus.
Have some poop. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Luke, you're absolutely right. It's the first step, yes, but it's the basic first step. And you have to. You have to identify your borders. You know, anywhere you go, like if you buy a house, before you buy that house, they come out and they survey it and they mark it with these little flags and they identify your property line and your border. And now some neighborhoods don't have fences. Everybody just runs all willy-nilly through everybody's yard. But 90% of neighborhoods across America have definable borders that this is your property. Don't come across it without asking for permission. But for the border, it's like, man, let the people in. All right. Please don't kill me.
I make no promises.
Oh, you're going to love this first one. The Democratic response, and I went over this during the break with Stedman, and unfortunately he had to agree with some of this stuff, right? But
can I go on record as saying I'm not a Democrat?
I know you're not a Democrat, but okay. It's fun for me.
All right.
Just like you, you have stuff that's fun for you.
True.
It's fun for me.
I like picking on both sides equally. That's kind of my job.
Okay. Well, then be honest about this statement, because this is a pack of lies.
I'll be honest with it if I am aware of it. Once again, I try not to comment on things I don't know anything about.
So the Democrats said, we stand ready, like the guard at the door to defend you from the wolf. Bunch of crap. We stand ready to remind and bring to the forefront of Americans what Donald Trump brought to America.
Bum, bum, bum.
The worst job record since the Great Depression. That's a lie. More people worked under Trump than I think all the way back to maybe Reagan. He rigged the economy for only the super rich and the massive tax giveaways to only large corporations. That's not true. I paid less taxes 2.5 years ago, and I had more profit margins that were not taxable, if you understand that. Cost of goods, profit margins, you're in a business to make money. Yes, you have to pay your fair share to the government, but the government also allows you to do things as companies to not have to give them all your money.
I will say this, as an independent, a part-time independent contractor, I paid less taxes under Trump than I did under Biden. I will admit that.
All right, so this is another lie. Two lies in a row. He rigged the Supreme Court to be right-wing racist. The Democrats had to vote. Am I correct?
Yeah, everybody had to vet these guys, so I don't necessarily. Once again, that's kind of a sweeping indictment, and you know I don't play that. So, no, I don't think that's accurate.
And every president in the history of the world, or our country, is allowed to nominate justices when one's available during his term.
Correct.
Biden has already done it, right?
I believe so.
Biden's already put somebody in or nominated somebody. So, another lie. Trump nominated who he thought would be great for our country. And for 8 or 9 or 10 days, however long that process went on, they didn't vet these people. They destroyed them. They went through every part of their life and tried to tear them apart. And then still voted for them, still confirmed them.
So that was Kavanaugh and Barrett, I believe,
yes,
were in under Trump. So that was two of them. Okay.
Yes. So he didn't rig anything. He nominated the two best people for the job. And apparently they were the best people for the job because they got confirmed. He manipulates the Supreme Court to where they will overturn Roe versus Wade, and he paves the way for an extremist Republican Party to criminalize abortion, diminish our standings across the world, and created absolute chaos in the streets and culminated an inciting mob that attacked the Capitol to destroy our democracy, knowing fair well he lost the election.
Oh, if you do it in an evil voice, of course I'm going to side with you.
Every one of those. This is what the Democrats are going to tell every human being for the next 2 years. And this is where we talked about this yesterday. And my buddy Jim out on the farm, and I kind of agree with what he's saying. As Republicans, and my daddy used to say this, there comes a point where people know where your line is. They don't need you to keep reminding them. They need to know you love them, you care about them. And we were talking about children, obviously. They need to know that you love them, you care for them, you're going to protect them. You've always got their back, their front, their sides. And if they ever are in a situation, they can pick up the phone and call you. Don't isolate yourself from your children because you constantly try to remind them where the line is. They know. You've told them. So now you take that over into politics. as a conservative Republican Party, for 200 years, we have been telling people where our line is. They know it. They know where we stand. I think if Donald Trump will get off the line, nobody else needs to hear that we're for abortion. I mean, we're against abortion. Everybody knows we're against abortion. We don't have to get up and talk about it for the next 2 years. We don't have to get up and talk about all the other stuff for the next 2 years that we're going to do that Democrats aren't going to do. But let me tell you this, and this is from Jonathan Morris. Write this down. Hit the audio record button on your phone.
Yeah, it's recording.
If Donald Trump does this, as a short paragraph I'm going to read you. If he runs on this and nothing else, he will win by more votes than any president has ever run in his life. But if he tries to bicker back and forth with the media about all the stuff they're saying about him, this ship will sink because there's not enough independents and young, on-the-fence Republicans that are willing to jump on the stake for him. But if he runs on this, he'll even swoo some Democrats. This is from Donald Trump. He said this in his announcement last night. He said, "I'm running because I believe the world has not seen the true glory of what this nation can be. We have not reached that pinnacle, believe it or not. In fact, we can go very far. We're going to have to go far fast. We have to get out of this ditch. And once we're out, you will see things that nobody imagined for a country. It's called the United States of America, and it's an incredible place." I don't think Donald Trump listens to my show, but if he does, that's all you need to run on. You got my vote every time. Make it about us. Make it about America. Make it about making America great again. Make it about getting jobs back for people up north that got laid off. I mean, my brother-in-law, Amy's brother, has had to find other work. You know, he used to be the guy that would go out in the middle of a field in Oklahoma or Dakota somewhere, and there wouldn't be nothing for thousands of miles, and he'd be like, "All right, I got to put this tower up, and I got to make it square." And he had the training and the schooling that him and a group of guys could go out there and bring in material, and they could build an infrastructure to start being able to produce and run oil, you know, to get it to the South. He's out of a job. He's out doing some consulting. I mean, he's working again. But so make it about America. Make it about what we're going to do, not what we're against. And I guarantee you the whole country will show up to vote for you. All right, we got to take a quick break. And then we got to get to, I hate saying Daddy DeSantis because it makes me say I'm a little.
Yeah, it's but I'm very confident. Very macho of you.
I'm very confident in my sexuality. And I think it's one of my wife's friends that posts that on Facebook, Daddy DeSantis. I think that's where I heard it from. But I want to give you an understanding of why it's so important to not forget why we love and need DeSantis. We'll be right back. Florida Man Radio, stick around. We got one more great episode segment lined up for you.
Who is Florida Man?
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
He is Florida Man. The Jonathan Morris Show on Florida Man Radio.
So Ron DeSantis is the model that they would like to apply to the battleground states all across the country. Republicans everywhere saying if we could take what Ron DeSantis did in Florida and we could model that, we could win everywhere. So here's my thing to every Republican listening. Unless Ron DeSantis gives a class on character, you know, like it didn't start last Tuesday with Ron DeSantis. He was who he was, and that's why he won the way he won. You know, he is a serviceman. He was in the military. He's a father. He's a husband. He's a stand-up guy. He has great character. So you can't, you know, I tell people all the time, the lion, listen to me clearly, the lion is not the king of the jungle because he acts like a lion. The lion's the king of the jungle because he's a lion. You can't act like the Ron DeSantis and pull it off. You have to be Ron DeSantis. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, acting will only take you so far. But last night, minutes before Trump took the stage and made his announcement, Ron was on stage in Tampa, and he was going back over. It was a crazy. You don't have audio. You didn't find audio of that, did you?
No, but
it was like a hero's welcome. Yeah, they laid out. I mean, it was like better than any Hollywood red carpet, better than anything. This guy, well deserved, by the way, well deserved. But he recapped his Florida blueprint on the path to winning Hispanics, women, and independents. And it was a simple message. It was like the message I read to you right before break, that if Donald Trump runs on, he'll get the same, you know, he'll get the same outcome, right? He's got to learn to keep his mouth shut and stay off of Twitter.
Which he won't do.
And that probably is going to be the downfall.
Yep.
My brother-in-law said to me, he wants it quiet. When Trump was up for re-election and we were talking about who you're going to vote for and all that, his comment to me was, I don't care about anything good Donald Trump's done. He's so loud. And I'm saying that to you, my audience, so you understand that there's a lot of people out there that's their deal. They're like, he's just so loud. I would have voted for his policies. I just can't have him on Twitter every night, in Twitter wars as the president of the, America, the free world, the leader of the free world. I believe this in my heart 100%. To be president, you have to be presidential. And I don't think fighting on social media is very presidential. I understand why he did it. Trust me. You don't have to blow up the text. I get it. The media tried to silence him. They tried to manipulate him. I get why he did it. I just feel like it wasn't the right thing to do. As a 45-year-old grown man, I just don't feel like that was the right response. So the reason I bring up Ron DeSantis, and it was more of a high-five, grab-butt type party. He was just going there to be hugged on, loved on.
Grab an ass.
Just hype me up. Come on, call me daddy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh boy.
I'll be your daddy.
All right.
See how quick it goes?
Rein it in.
It gets turned sideways.
All right,
so
Morris,
fast.
Rein it in.
All right. But the reason I bring this up is I want you to not forget why we voted for Ron DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis. Okay, I'm not going to go over all the details. It doesn't matter his age and his this and his that and blah, 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 blah. Here's what matters. We have DeSantis. California does not have a Ron DeSantis. So I'm going to highlight a story from a California early childhood teacher that did a presentation at a training seminar for other teachers, and she brought her age-appropriate gender unicorn. The lady's name is McCray. She currently works in Sacramento, okay? Early childhood development in California, which is probably all over the country, is from 0 to 8 years old. Okay? The purpose of her workshop is to provide teachers with positive strategies to support transgender and gender nonconforming children. I don't think you understood what I said.
Say it again.
The purpose of her discussion, her teaching, was to teach other teachers how to provide a positive strategy to support transgender in gender non-conforming children. It's like an oogla. What's some things called? It's like we're going to take you out and beat you till you agree with us. Oogla, googla, a gulag, gulag.
Gulag?
Maybe. It's like the gulag for straight kids. Oh, what do you mean you're a non-conforming child? We're going to teach you in a positive manner how to be gender fluid. McCray was asked, so there was one reasonable person in the California board meeting for the California school system. One teacher asked, well, are toddlers too young for these conversations? McCray responded, I have a doctorate degree, done my research. Children at the age of 5 understand and know all about gender. Some children as early as 3. So let me take you back to my 3 to 5 year old, because I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but I remember, ooh, look what I can do. Sometimes it sticks straight out.
Yeah, what's this?
You know what I mean?
This is fun.
And I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I remember my dad's yelling at me, boy, if you shake it more than twice, you're playing with it. Put that thing away. And I think it was called a tallywhacker. when I was five. Mm-hmm. Is that still a tallywhacker when you're five?
I don't hang out with 5 year olds anymore, and I'm really proud to say that I don't.
And I think my sister had hoo hoos and ha ha's. You know, my mom would tell her, "You got to cover them hoo hoos up, cover them ha ha's up." You know, we were little kids. Then we talked about, you know, sexual comments to us.
Yeah, you show me yours, I'll show you mine.
So I got, so she wants to put this gender unicorn in to teach kids.
Unicorns don't exist, which is, you know, well, yeah, I mean, it already flaws her argument. Doctrine over there.
No, thank you, because that never even crossed my mind till right now.
Let's put a unicorn in because this doesn't exist. And now
I want to throw myself out this window and then throw it back through and let all the glasses cut me to pieces. Because I'm covering this story and I'm so upset about transgender and how they're trying to indoctrinate little kids. And unicorns don't even exist.
Nope. They do not.
And she uses a fictional character to... Oh, my sweet Jesus. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, so... She goes on to say that, "I thought this unicorn would be a great tool because the unicorn is non-gender." Of course it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Dragons, too. Oh, wait, they don't exist either.
They're not real. So she said, "You can download these and you can talk to your kids." And of course it's age appropriate, she said. "Even at 5 years old, you should be asking your students." Now, guys, this isn't having material available in a library. This is indoctrination. In California. We don't have room for you in Florida, but if you're in California, try to get to Alabama, Mississippi, maybe Georgia. All right. She's McCray is telling the teachers, at the five-year-old level, you need to ask them, "Are you a girl or a boy?" And then when they answer, explain to them, "Yes, you may have been born a boy or a girl, but you may not always feel that way, and that's okay." Why? Why are they teaching these kids how to scribble, how to color inside the lines, how to put 1 + 1 = what happened to what are those little things we used to carry around, flashcards? You learn your your alphabet, but you learn your multiplications.
Right.
So there's a lady named Wee Han Wu, and she's actually from the Equal Rights Foundations. And she's actually going to bat for children. This is mind-blowing, because you would think she would be promoting this transgender, cisgender, all this crap. But she says in a report, "This is a general issue in the U.S. of A. of radical teacher activists promoting adult concepts to early-aged children." She went on to say, "There's a fine line between promoting, understanding," I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Hooked on Phonics did not work for me. Let me try that again. She went on to say in her report, "There's a fine line between promoting understanding of transgenderism in older kids and adults and inculating," is that the right word? I-N-C-U-L, inculating? Inculating, she called it a cult.
You mean including?
No, it's I-N-C-U-L-C-A-T-I-N-G.
Anyway.
I would almost think she meant to write inoculating and she misspelled it. Based on the sentence structure. But I could be wrong. Because I'm like, "Ooh, look, I like it." That's how far as my English language goes. I'm just playing. I actually went to school, people. I went to third grade 5 times. There's a difference between promoting understanding to adults and older kids and indoctrinating young children. And this is what gets great. You ready? She said, "There's a fine line between free expression and grooming the next generation." I love it. She is a equal rights person fighting for rights of children.
She's not wrong.
I absolutely love it. I applaud this lady. She said, instead of being, now the guys, listen, if you're a gatekeeper, if you're in a position of authority and you're doing this, kudos to you. Congratulations. Keep up the good fight. Wu went on to say, instead of being the gatekeeper against toxic fads in education, these radical teacher activists are actively robbing America's young and vulnerable during their innocence of childhood. They are obsessed with this dangerous gender ideology. And what's worse, it is endorsed and sponsored by most of the teachers' union. Thank you, Ms. Wu. Sorry, California, you do not have Ron DeSantis. New York City does not have a Ron DeSantis. New York City has a thing they did in 2019 which decriminalized crimes other than like assault on children or assault with a deadly weapon and drug dealing. But in 2020, they tweaked it. Because God forbid we have people on the streets tweaking. You ever been on drugs and had to come off drugs, Devin?
No, I have not.
Well, I've heard. Yeah. Rumor has it that when you go through withdrawals, you tweak a little. Your body tweaks a little. You need a little fix. Gotta give me a fix.
Yes, I'm familiar with it just because I have family members that have. But
well, how can you get your fix when your drug dealer's incarcerated?
Boy, it makes it harder.
In the event of keeping people from tweaking on the street, and I added that for humor, New York has tweaked their 2019 law, and they revised it to where now drug dealing, which, by the way, let me just read this to you really, really fast. Oh, where is it? I lost it. Dad, blast me. Hang on. Oh, just so you know, the prosecutor of New York requested that Mr. Pagan, who, by the way, I'm sorry, he had 20,000 fentanyl pills in his possession. He was arrested on felony charges of possession and intent to distribute. The prosecutor asked that he be remanded on either a $100,000 cash bond or a $250,000 regular bond. Well, Manhattan Judge James Conn, not in my court. He released Mr. Pagan without bail. He's back on the street. Now, these fentanyl pills were the multicolored, almost like you opened up a bag of Skittles. The prosecutor went on to say that these pills are meant to target the younger children in our streets and our schools, that Mr. Pagan is a threat to our streets. Now, in New York, you don't have Ron DeSantis, who's tough on crime. Criminals get out on bond, even when they have 20,000. Not two, not one, 20,000. If you're in the canine business and you're out searching, doing dog stuff, you may be out of a job. But for now, dogs still do what dogs do. Down at the border, they had the canine unit out doing random patrols for a cartel. Oh, man, I'm almost out of time. All right, dogs sniffed out 2,000 fentanyl pills. They were in dinner rolls.
Dinner rolls?
They had fresh-baked dinner rolls coming across the border.
Tell me they were King Hawaiian.
There were 500 pills in each dinner roll. That's a big dinner roll, right? 500 pills in each dinner roll. All right, guys, we got so much to get to. Listen, you don't want to miss out. Tune in tomorrow because I've got something really cool about Mike Tyson. Hopefully nobody else will talk about it today, but there's chances are you're probably going to hear about it. But we're going to cover it tomorrow. We actually have some audio, and Walmart ponies up for $3.1 billion. So just a little highlight. We already got stuff lined up for tomorrow.
What's going on with you Saturday? Why don't we talk about that for a second?
Oh, Saturday I will be between the ribs here, and then I'm going to scurry on down to Stogies and Spirits. That starts at 6 o'clock. It's at Gatlin Hall Brewing, 4721 South Orange Avenue in Orlando. Meet the whole Florida Man crew. We're all going to be there. Bo the Love Sponge, Shannon Burke, myself. It's going to be a great time. If you can get here, get here. If you live here, you better be here. And Stedman has trivia tonight. Listen, guys, I know y'all love me, and I love y'all already. We're getting that weird spot in our relationship where we want to say the L word, but we're kind of scared to. Well, I ain't scared of nothing. I need y'all to show some love to my independent producer, Mr. Stedman himself. He does a kick butt game called trivia. You go down to Gators, you eat some wings, drink some drinks. If you win, you get $40 off your tab. I mean, you can't beat that.
That's right. Go to BigTriviaShow.com for more information.
Yeah, check him out. Keep him rolling. He does a good job. Our family went a couple weeks ago, and it was fun. And here's the thing. You can come to Lake Mary, hit charcuterie night at Celery City, get some snacks, some advertise, and then go see Stedman. Bill O'Reilly's next. After him, you got Dan Bongino in Central Florida, Marty Van Camp and the Robins in the Emerald Coast. Shannon Burke and Eric's here at 3 o'clock. Then Jesse Kelly takes over after Shannon, and then you bring it right back here, Bill O'Reilly. He wraps up the evening Bubba Love Sponge kicks off in the morning at 6, and then yours truly, 10 o'clock. Guys, I'm Jonathan Morris, Florida Man Radio. Y'all have a great day. I'm out of here.
WDYZ Altamont Springs, WFYY HD3 Windermere, WXUS HD3, W266 DY Dunellen, WZLB Valparaiso.